Yes. They turned south together and headed for Columbus Circle. There were lights and traffic down there, crowds on the sidewalks. Who do you think it was? I had no idea. And that's a pretty short conversation, isn't it? You wanted to talk, but you don't have much to talk about. Burke said nothing. But who got tipped off? Reacher asked. Not who did the tipping. I think that would be the more important answer. And I think that's what you want to tell me. Burke said nothing, just walked on in silence. You as good as dragged me out here. Not because you're worried if I'm getting enough fresh air and exercise. Burke stayed quiet. You're going to make me play 20 questions? Reacher said. That might be the best way to do it. You think this is about the money? No. So the money is a smokescreen. Half the equation at best. Maybe a parallel aim. The other half of the equation being punishment? You got it. You think there's someone out there with a grudge against Lane? Yes. One person? No. How many? Theoretically, there might be hundreds or thousands, whole nations, maybe. We've messed with a lot of people here and there. Realistically, more than one person. Two? Yes. What kind of a grudge? What's the worst thing one man can do to another? Depends who you are, Reacher said. Exactly. So, who are we? Reacher thought. Navy SEAL, Delta Force, Recon Marines, Green Berets, SAS from Britain, the best in the world. Special Forces soldiers, he said. Exactly. So, what don't we do? You don't leave bodies behind on the battlefield. Burke said nothing. But Lane did, Reacher said. He left two bodies behind. Burke stopped on the north curve of Columbus Circle. Traffic roared all around. Headlight beams swept wild tangents. To the right, the tall, silvery bulk of a brand new building. A wide base blocking 59th Street and twin towers rising above. So what are you saying? Reacher asked. They had brothers or sons? Someone's come out of the woodwork looking for revenge? Finally, on their behalf? Doesn't necessarily take brothers or sons. Buddies? Doesn't necessarily take buddies either. So who? Burke didn't answer. Reacher stared at him. Christ. You left two guys behind, alive. Not me. Not us. It was Lane. And you think they finally made it home? I'm sure they would have tried hard. Hobart and Knight, Reacher said. You know their names? Evidently. Ah. Who have you been talking to? There's nothing about them in those file cabinets you were looking through, or in the computer. They've been erased, like they never existed, like they're dirty little secrets, which they are. What happened with them? They were wounded, according to Lane. We never saw them. They were in forward observation posts, and we heard small arms fire. Lane went up the line and came back and said they were hit bad and couldn't possibly make it. He said, we couldn't bring them in. He said we'd lose too many guys trying. He flat ordered us to pull out. We left them there. And what do you suppose happened to them? We assumed they'd be taken prisoner, in which case we assumed their life expectancy would be about a minute and a half. I think Lane made sure they didn't come back, Reacher thought. Where was this? Reacher asked. I can't tell you. I'd go to jail. Why did you stick around afterward, all this time? Why wouldn't I? Sounds like you're unhappy with how things went down. I obey orders, and I let officers decide things. That's how it always was, and that's how it always will be. Does he know they're back, Lane? You're not listening. Nobody knows they're back. Nobody even knows that they're alive. I'm just guessing is all. Based on how big of a deal this all is. Would they do it, Hobart and Knight? Hurt a woman and a child to put a scare into Lane? You mean, is it justified? Of course it isn't. But would they do it? Hell yes, they would do it. Pragmatic people do what works, especially after what Lane did to them. Reacher nodded. Who would be talking to them from the inside? I don't know. What were they? Jawheads. Like Carter Groom. Yes, like Carter Groom. Reacher said nothing. Marines hate that, Burke said, especially recon Marines. They hate leaving guys behind. More than anyone, it's their code. So why does he stick around? Same reason I do. Ours is not to reason why. That's also a code. Maybe in the service, not necessarily in some half-assed private company. I don't see a difference. Well, you ought to, soldier. Watch your mouth, pal. I'm helping you out here. I'm earning you $1 million. You find Hobart tonight, you find Kate and Jade, too. You think? Dollars to donuts. $1 million to donuts. So watch your mouth. I don't need to watch my mouth. If you still got a code, then I'm still an officer. I can say what I like, and you can stand there and take it and salute. Burke turned away from the swirling river of traffic in front of him and headed back north. Reacher let him get 5 yards away and then caught up and fell in beside him. Nothing more was said. 10 minutes later, they turned into 72nd Street. Reacher glanced up and to his left. Patty Joseph's window was blazing with light. Chapter 21. Reacher said, "You go on ahead. I'm going to walk some more." "Why?" "You gave me things to think about." "You can't think unless you're walking." "No point looking for Hobart and Knight inside the apartment. That's for sure. They were erased." "One more thing. When did Lane and Kate get together?" "Soon after Anne died. Lane doesn't like to be alone." "Did they get along okay?" "They're still married." "What does that mean?"
"It means they get along okay."
"How well?"
"Well enough."
"As well as he got along with Anne the first time around?"
Burke nodded. "About the same."
"I'll see you later," Reacher said. Reacher watched Burke disappear inside the Dakota and then moved on west, away from Patty Joseph's place. Routine caution, which paid off big time when he glanced back and saw Burke coming after him. Clearly, Burke had turned around inside the Dakota's lobby and was trying a pretty poor imitation of a clandestine tail. He was sneaking along in the shadows, his black skin and his black clothes mostly invisible, but lit up like a superstar every time he passed under a streetlight. "He doesn't trust me," Reacher thought. "A Delta non-com doesn't trust an MP. Well, there's a big surprise." Reacher walked to the end of the block and took the stairs down to the subway, to the northbound platform. Used his Metro card at the turnstile. He figured Burke wouldn't have a Metro card. Lane's people drove everywhere. In which case, Burke would be hung up at the machine, swiping his credit card or feeding creased bills into the slot. In which case, the tail would fail at the first hurdle, if a train came soon, which it didn't. It was midnight, and the trains were well into their off-peak schedules. Average wait time was probably 15 or 20 minutes. Reacher was ready to get lucky, but he didn't. He turned and saw Burke collect a brand new card from the machine and hang back, just waiting. Reacher thought, "He doesn't want to be on the platform with me. He's going to come through the turnstile at the last possible minute." Reacher waited. There were 12 people waiting with him, a knot of 3, a knot of 2, 7 people on their own. Mostly they were well-dressed. There were folks going home after movies or restaurant meals, heading back to cheaper rents in the hundreds or all the way up in Hudson Heights. The tunnel stayed quiet. The air was warm. Reacher leaned on a pillar and waited. Then he heard the rails start their strange metallic keening. A train, half a mile away. He saw a faint light in the darkness and felt the push of hot air. Then the noise built, and 12 people on the platform shuffled forward. Reacher shuffled backward. He pressed himself into a maintenance recess the size of a phone booth, stood still. A train rolled in, fast, long, loud, hissing and squealing. A one train, local. Shiny aluminum, bright windows. It stopped. People got off, people got on. Then Burke came through the turnstile and made it through the doors just before they closed. The train moved away, left to right, and Reacher saw Burke through the windows. He was walking forward, eyes front, hunting his quarry, car by car. He would be all the way up in the Bronx, 242nd Street, Van Cortlandt Park, before he realized his quarry wasn't on the train at all.